Friday, December 24, 2022. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means living the dream of having both sides of a final with a futures bet. It's a sports bettor's dream, right? You bet a handful of futures, maybe two, maybe three, it doesn't matter. You bet a bunch of futures in some sort of sporting event, some tournament, whatever it may be. For me, it's the World Cup. So that's what I'm referring to here. And two teams that you have action on meet in the final. It's actually the second time it's happened to me this year. Happened to me in the Liga MX final, or the Apertura, whatever that one is, earlier this year. Shout out Nate for hooking me up with the suggestions on those picks. But I had France and I had Argentina. I had positions on both sides going into the final. When the elimination round started, I was like, these are the two best teams. I just think these teams are playing better than everybody else, and I think that one of these teams are going to meet the finals. Now, I didn't I hope that, you know, with the way the bracket was set up, of course, the possibility of them getting there together where it was there, but I was just hoping one would get there. Got them both, and I got to watch what was easily one of the most entertaining soccer matches I have ever seen. Best final in the World Cup that we've seen, definitely in my lifetime. And I got to do so knowing that either result produced a profit. And I'm happy to say that the result that gave me the slightly more better profit with Argentina, because I had a slightly larger position on them, came through. So the World Cup worked out. Man, every sports bettor out there listening, know, like, shaking. I know you're nodding your head thinking, like, yeah, that's the dream. That's what you want when you make these futures bets. Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa in a couple days for those that celebrate. Happy Festivus to the rest of us. I got the better baby here next to me. She's in her bassinet. She's slowly waking up. She might make an appearance. She might let everybody know that she wants to be held, or it's time for her to eat. But we shall see. She's slowly stirring. This episode, of course, last one of 2022. It's going to have a few things in it. I have a short monologue here. I'm going to play a couple clips from some things that I've recorded recently. To sort of tease is not the right word for it, but sort of remind everybody of the other content that I try to put out. But here's something I want to, this is sort of what I want to start with. You would have noticed that the last couple episodes, and then in this one also, titled, Learning How to Be a Better Dad. And I think I mentioned this briefly on the last podcast, but I want to go a little deeper into it here. You know, the learning how to be a better dad, of course, is a fun a pun for me. You know, it's a clever title with the spelling and everything. And it's multifaceted, right? You know, at face value, learning how to be a better dad, you know, going into this, I knew that, you know, hobbies would be difficult, right? Hobbies, you know, you learn how, you know, what you have to get rid of, you know, what takes the back seat, what can you still kind of do, you know, the taking better at, you know, at ear value, if you will, if that's the thing, you know, this is my first time fathering, right? This is my first time really even being responsible for an infant. I'm not really all that embarrassed to say, but anymore. But going into this, I was kind of embarrassed to admit that the first diaper that I've ever changed in my life was my daughter hours after she was born. So learning how to be a dad and trying to be a good one is something that I'm learning every day. And Better Baby here does a good job of teaching me what I need to do to achieve that. But in the sense of my hobbies, right, you know, the focus of this podcast being gambling, right? Focus of this podcast being recreational gamblers. Eric and I have talked about a number of times on this show about how, like, we're into this because this is like one of the few things we're really into, right? Like gambling, you know, recreational gambling is fun, and it's something that I truly enjoy doing. When I think about vacations, I think about gambling destinations, right? For as many hobbies as I have, that's still like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to spend my time by myself doing. Now, family vacation, I don't even bother mentioning that stuff because I know it's going to get put on deaf ears. But, you know, I think about where can I go to enjoy the casino life, the better life, right? And, you know, betting on sports has to be probably one of my, it's probably my most consistent hobby now. It's really the only thing I really have time for in the small moments that I either have to myself or the thing that I can do when Better Baby is asleep on my chest or whatever, right? I can handicap games and get action down. I can watch primetime games and make halftime bets, stuff like that. But the sort of added layer to learning how to be a better dad, BETTOR, is learning how to be a content creator specifically for the better life while being a father. And this one is actually, you know, I don't know what the whole chicken and the egg thing, like, can I be a gambling content creator if I'm not gambling much? That's a question I'm still trying to figure out myself. But learning how to be a content creator while learning how to be a father is important to me because, you know, as much as I enjoy recreational gambling, I love talking about it. I love creating content for it. There's so many unique opportunities, I think, that I haven't even tapped into that I hope that I will get a chance to with storytelling and stuff like that. It's a really underserved market. For as saturated as it is, it's an underserved market with certain types of content. And, you know, if you go back 10 years, yeah, I was still a gambler 10 years ago, but even more so, I was a content creator, right? Like the two things that I've been doing sort of the longest recreationally or as a hobby, and then somewhat professionally, if you get into, you know, what I do professionally, is, you know, content creation, being a creator, and then personally and professionally, and then just personally, you know, gambling. I'm not a professional gambler anyway, but these are the two things, these two hobbies that I've had, you know, that I've sort of held the longest, if you will. And so the theme of learning how to be a better dad isn't just learning how to adapt this hobby that I talk to all of you about in recreational gambling, going to the casinos, betting on sports, whatever it may be, but it's also me learning how to apply my craft and my hobby of content creation in this changing time in my life, which is why I've forced, you know, I thought about just taking, when it was clear I wasn't gonna get to episode 200 in time for like the good big goodbye and I'm off to being a father thing, I was like, you know what, maybe I just take a break and I'll pick this up again at the new year. But I was like, no, I need to, you know, I don't want to let this go. And when I say I don't want to let this go, I don't want to force it, right? And I don't want to, you know, I still have my priorities are straight, trust me. In fact, the reason why Better Baby's down here is I'm giving mom a little break. I woke up, as baby girl was stirring a little bit. And so I grabbed her and brought her downstairs so mama could keep sleeping. Got the bottle here just in case, you know, you dads know, we got all the tools just in case we need to step in. She's stirring a little bit, but she doesn't really seem to be truly waking up. She sleeps well. I don't want to knock on wood there. But, you know, learning how to be a better dad for me was not only the theme of, you know, let's talk about how this hobby that we all have and how I'm trying to figure out how to keep doing it, but personally, how do I continue to be the producer of the better life? Because as much as I love creating content, I'm very fortunate to have found my place. I finally kind of settled in life on... professionally, I create content on a theme and in a way that truly fulfills me and that I enjoy. I won't bring it up here, but if you're curious, I'll tell you in private. And then, you know, personally, you know, I've created content for a number of, like, I've created veteran-specific content. I've created content on suicide prevention. I've created content on, I've created, like comedy, and I've done pairing episode, like, co-host conversations with my friends and stuff like that. And all up until now, you know, gambling is easily my favorite thing to have as a subject, as a topic. And so, you know, learning how to be a better dad is me learning how to produce the better life while being a dad. And I mentioned last time, I'll say it again, kind of a nice, it was kind of nice that I was too busy to get to episode 200, because I'm pretty sure I would have hung up the mic, walked away, and been like, yeah, maybe I'll come back to that, and just never really did. But because it felt like unfinished business, it still was a thing I wanted to do. And now that, believe it or not, it's been 8 weeks, better baby's a couple days away from being 2 months. And yeah, daddy hears you. And so, you know, I'm thinking about content. I'm thinking about what to do. And what's funny is I've been ready to put this episode out, volume three, or whatever you want to call it, part three of learning how to be a better dad, for like a week now. But one of the reasons why I haven't is I've fallen out of the routine, right? Like, you know, in height podcasting of my life, there was one point in my life where I had multiple podcasts. I think I had like three podcasts at one point. It was crazy. I mean, I could record, edit, and produce like in no time, right? I just like flying through the motions. And now I'm like, okay, how do I open the sound file again? It's just so, I mean, it's pathetic. It's only, you know, and you know, it's only been a couple, you know, I've put out only been a few weeks, right, since the last one. But it's funny what happens when you sort of get out of routine and such. But so on this podcast, a little bit later, I'm gonna play a segment from something I recently recorded with Mark for Better Viewing. For people who are unaware of that show, I'll play a little play a segment there. And then after that, just a short clip from Eric and I that we recorded for Better Life 2.0 that we do on Patreon. But until we get there, let's talk about being a better dad, BETTOR. And you know, sports betting still easily the thing that I can do, and I'm actually pretty satisfied with that part of my life. You know, with all the things, you know, as I approached parenthood, right? Everybody, you know, especially if you listen to Better Life 2.0 on Patreon, you know, Eric warned me, like, look, you know, it's you give up a lot. You know, you are last in the household, and boy, have I felt that. My dog tries to act like he's become last in the household, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that he even takes a step above me sometimes. But, you know, sports betting, because of I can do it on my phone, with where she is in her stage of life, you know, I'm watching still a lot of primetime games. Second half bets is something I enjoy doing, so it's really easy for me to partake in that. But I will admit, something that is, you know, I will, you know, there will be soccer matches that I want to play, and I often want to, and if I don't have a pre-flop or a pre-game bet on a match, I will like to see what the halftime stats look like, and then see if there's a wager to be made in the second half. See if maybe one side has more dangerous attacks or possession or both, whatever, et cetera, to see if there's a, hey, baby girl, I hear you. If there's a wager to be made in for the second half, and there's some times where I'm like, oh wait, that game, and like it's been an hour since the game was over, right? So you know, I have it's not perfect, you know, over here. Like the distractions of parenthood are definitely getting in the way there. But for the most part, I'm getting what I want down. I'm still exercising the few angles that I have, and then you know enjoying the rest. All right, I'm gonna take a break from recording here so I can attend to baby girl's needs here. Okay, she just apparently wanted to be held, which don't we all just eventually just want to be held? That's life, isn't it? But obviously, so sports betting, it's working out. Casino attend, you know, going to casinos, it's not obviously. Every once in a while, maybe like once every, like, if I'm lucky, I can get there once a week. Usually it's me like once every week and once every other week. And it's really, you know, I run in there just to cash in some free play. Usually the free play that I'm offered on a routine basis isn't enough to really, it's only like $15 or $20 at MGM National Harbor. But if they have a promotion, if they have like some kiosk game that's going to offer more, because I am still platinum status, I do get the better part of that. And so I do go in there, like last time I went in there and I got $50 of free play on top of like the $20 I had. So, you know, $10 of free play, I think, you know, it's only 10 minutes away from me. So it warrants going in, I think, for that. But otherwise, you know, I might run by the sports book real quick to see if the kiosks have any numbers that are maybe off market or something. They sometimes do for soccer and such. So I run over there, and then I'm out. Right, I don't stick around. I don't play any games. I don't shop the Buffalo Diamond machines. Right, so that part is definitely different. And because that part is so different, you know, like I mentioned, I'm currently platinum with BetMGM. I'm definitely not making platinum this year again. And it made me even think, like, is it even worth pursuing any of these tier statuses at the moment, right? I'm sure maybe, you know, every year is, I'm sure, different in what life holds. But, you know, in 2023, do I foresee really needing or caring if I have certain statuses? Now, I will have gold, right? So I'm not dropping down a sapphire or anything like that, or the pearl. I will have gold, but I won't quite have enough for platinum. There's a chance, just through betting with BetMGM, that I might actually get back to platinum next year, just in the shift on how I've been sports betting and how much more volume I've been giving that book in particular. But, you know, think, you know, last year, I'm sure everybody remembered, like, I spent so much time I spent a lot more time at the casino in 2021. I was so close that it just made sense to go in and just push myself all the way through. Even if I was at that point this year, it wouldn't have been worth it, right? Because I can't think, other than getting more free play out of these kiosk games and the parking, like the parking privilege with the having platinum at MGM National Harbor is actually the thing I'm going to miss the most. But you know, it doesn't warrant me trying to, you know, push myself over the edge with for platinum. And then, you know, nothing else really either, right? Diamond, you know, I ended up getting diamond. I got 2 diamond this year, so I will have it. That will be my status going in. But the only reason I even got it was because of the promotion that they had in AC, coupled with betting with Caesar Sportsbook. Look, you bet enough with these sports books, and it can really be a way to get yourself to statuses if you know how to work that right, or if you have, you know, when you're betting with these books, after a while you know, right? When I see a bet that I want to make, I pretty much know which couple books are probably going to have the better line on that, right? Futures odds sometimes are ones that you probably want to I shop everywhere, but when it just comes to basic game lines, you know, I know which books are probably going to have, or are going to be 10 cents better than the others, or, you know, are going to have the, you know, -105 versus the -110 or whatever it may be. And so, you know, Caesars is a place where, or if any of these books, Caesars, BetMGM, these are places where you can reliably get action down. Yeah, you can get a decent amount of loyalty and reward points just through the bets there. So, you know, I've been thinking about this stuff a lot, and I, you know, it's kind of weird to just sort of let go of the idea of tier status, you know, not that I ever, you know, other than getting platinum at MGM, I don't know if I really, quote unquote, invested in a status, right? Because, you know, because of tier matching and a lot of that stuff, it was the only time I really like played my way all the way to a status. But it was kind of weird in if I have to admit, it's really weird having spent all of these years figuring out the methods behind all this, figuring out, you know, how to achieve status here, how to work the casino here. Yes, baby girl, how you doing? How to, you know, the angle to play here, or the how to you know, best get the most money or get the most bang for your buck out of this system, for that to just all of a sudden really not matter, and for me to have built up this knowledge to kind of not really have a kind of no longer need to apply it, or it's not really practical to apply it anymore, is interesting. So that's what's going on in my life. I'm going to get housekeeping notes, or I may at least get one of them out of the way here. Gambling trips. I got two of them circled on the calendar. I'm going on at least one of them. Optimistic on two. First of all, Bet Bash, August 2023. It's going to be in Las Vegas. I still am undecided sort of on what my attendance to Bet Bash is going to be, but I do intend on being in the area for while it's occurring, and I do plan on being in there a day or two ahead of time, even just to enjoy Las Vegas before the event. I believe that's August 8, 9, and 10. And then May 18, 19, 20, Biloxi, Mississippi, Mississippi Rob, who I believe is at Mississippi Rob 4, he tweeted it out. We're getting a group down there. It looks like a lot of people are interested in going. Already got a bunch of people saying, hey, it's on my calendar. I'm a favorable yes to go, but that won't be certain, I think, until like February. I am planning on going. Bless you, baby girl. I'm expecting to go. I'm hopeful to go. And honestly, if the better wife was like, hey, I don't know if you can swing two of them this year, I'm prioritizing Biloxi. Because the people that go are amazing, and I have like the most pure gambling fun when I'm in Biloxi. The Biloxi trips have been amazing, and I don't want to miss this one. So those are the two gambling trips I have lined up. Content going into 2023. I intend on doing a bi-weekly or an every other week, however you say that, podcast, alternating with You Can Bet on That, so that way you get one of I don't know what schedule is Crap Vegas even on. I don't even know anymore. I feel like I just wake up and they have a podcast out. I don't pay attention. I don't realize what cycle they're on. Should I split the difference on their cycle? I don't even know. I'm gonna have an every other. I'm gonna start with trying to just execute every other week. And I will be at least opposite You Can Bet on That. I should find out what cycle Crap Vegas is on, and maybe even see if I can split the difference in a way that threads, so that way the rotating content is, for people who listen to all three, is favorable. But anyhow, that's the goal here in the main feed. Better viewing of Mark Duvall monthly. Now that this little hiatus is taken care of, the next episode is going to be a grab bag episode. So that's going to be a thing. And then of course, Better Life 2.0, with Eric Rosenthal. That's a Patreon specific program. Just a thank you to everybody who supports me over there. If you haven't heard Better Viewing and you're like, wait, what are you talking about? Maybe you just came on board. Maybe you didn't really listen to it back in the day. I'm going to play. This is our discussion on Let It Ride. Something that I really enjoy doing is when I'm watching movies or TV, picking out gambling references, whether they're very direct in people playing poker in a scene, or indirect in, you hear someone, give odds on a sporting event or mention a bookie or something like that, whatever it may be. And I really enjoy doing it. Just recently, I'm finishing the original Star Wars trilogy picking up on gambling references there. I didn't find one until the middle of Empire Strikes Back when Han Solo mentions Lando Calrissian originally, and he refers to him as a gambler, a card player, and a gambler. But you know, this is something that I enjoy. Mark Duvall, also a big TV nerd. So we started doing this a year and a half ago, I think. So this is just part of our discussion going over the movie Let It Ride, as found on our Better Viewing episode. Okay, let's move on to what is clear, definitely, without even talking about it, I think everybody can assume it's the better of the two movies. This watching it for this recording is the first time I've ever seen the movie Let It Ride.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it coming into the gambling space, and then it was a movie that everybody sort of brought up in the discussion of good gambling movies, and I was like, oh, I should watch that sometime. And then around the time that I was thinking I should probably sit down and start watching some of these gambling movies, you and I started doing this, and I was like, well, I'll watch it when Mark and I do an episode on it.
Yeah.
And so here we are. I'm watching Let It Ride for the first time, and let me tell you, I loved it.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
And it's like the fourth time I've seen it. And it's funny because it's got like 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. And when I look it up in the guide, it's got like 1.5 stars. And the woman who wrote the screenplay, the story goes that she actually had her name removed from the movie, because when you see it, it says it's the screenplay is by Ernest Morton, but her name is Nancy Dowd. And the only maybe she wasn't expecting quite the screwball comedy that ultimately the film was. But I loved it. And I ended up watching it with my son. I just happened to have it on, and he sat and watched, and we just laughed the whole way through. So yeah, I still love this movie.
That 27% on Rotten Tomatoes, that 27% are all gamblers. Gamblers had to have appreciated this movie.
Maybe that's some of it. Yeah.
Let's get into it. It came out in 1989. I watched it on Amazon Prime. I know it's available there. I don't know. I didn't see where else it was available.
That's what I did too. Yeah, I just rented it on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
And it has a handful of recognizable actors, and it's older, so there's a good number that I did not recognize. But Richard Dreyfuss, Jennifer Tilly, Robbie Coltrane, these are people that some of the actors that I recognize, and I'm not familiar with some of the others. I don't know if you want to point out any other
standouts.
Sure,
I will as we go through it. Yeah.
Okay. So the opening scene is Trotter. This is where I actually will use character names. Richard Dreyfuss, who plays Trotter, Jay Trotter, he's exchanging what appears to be vows, like renewed vows with his wife, or maybe just promises. I was having a hard time of tracking what it was they were like, what exactly we were witnessing, but they're essentially promising to just be better to each other.
Yeah, it seems like they've got some troubles in their marriage, and they've gone out to dinner, and they've both written things down about how they're going to be better partners. Yeah.
One of his is, I won't gamble so much, which is funny because you know you're about to watch a gambling movie.
Yep.
We find ourselves in a cab, just a random cab.
Let's back up here, because that scene. So first of all, his wife is played by Terry Garr, the wonderful Terry Garr. They actually played husband and wife in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And she, you know, through the 70s and 80s, for whatever reason, ended up in a lot of roles where she's the long-suffering wife. Even in Oh God, she was married to John Denver. It was the same kind of thing. But she's just wonderful. Again, you don't see her too much now. I think she's suffering from, I think she has like MS or something, and she's older. But Terry Garr is absolutely wonderful. I do want to talk about this scene, because the scene really sets the tone of the movie early, because they get into an argument about fortune cookie etiquette, or, you know, whose fortune cookie it is. Is it because you touched it first? Is it because you opened it? Because you ate it? So who does the fortune actually go to? And it gets into this big discussion with everyone in the restaurant. You know, Trotter says, excuse me, I've got a question for you. You know, what happens? And it gets wacky real quick. And it certainly sets the tone for the rest of the movie, I think.
Yes, it does. Anything else?
That's it.
We find ourselves in a cab. The driver has a rig. This is the late 80s, right? And there's the divider between driver and rider. And there's this little sticker that the rider can see. This says, driver can't hear you. But then you see that the driver has a little rig set up to where he has the back seat mic'd and can actually hear what is being talked about. And there's two guys that are back there. They're talking about a horse that can't lose. And they specifically say can't lose unless it's struck by lightning at the gates.
Yeah, they're talking about how the horse has been held back on races so that they could get, you know, a good odds on the horse. And the driver, whose name is Looney, not only is he hearing this, he's also recording it to cassette tape.
Yes. So he's recording it, and after his little drive, he ends up meeting with Trotter, and he plays it back for him. And he's actually wants to play something goofy on there.
Lewd act that was going on in the car. Yeah, that's what he wants to play for Trotter. But Trotter hears a little bit of the horse tip.
And he's like, play that back. Like, go back. And as soon as he hears it, he's sold. Like, he doesn't doubt it. He doesn't question it. He's like, this is it. We got to do this. And he has this is not gambling. This is a sure thing.
That's right. He says something like, this gambling involves risk, chance, certainty. I'm just taking advantage of an extraordinary business opportunity.
Exactly. He listens. Does he take the cab over? That's something
they were both cab drivers. I think that's kind of what it was. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. So we see him driving now. He's listening back to it. And he's listening to this part of the tape over and over and over. And it ends with the audio, bet the horse heavy.
Yeah.
we get Trotter and Looney heading to the track. And Trotter says, I've got $100 stashed away just for a day like this. like what kind of day? Like, just in case I get tipped off on a sure thing, I want to make sure I have some money in pocket. Yeah. The just for a day like this was great. They're at the racetrack. They get the daily race form and they go to the bar. Now there's a scene where Looney is he trying to buy a tip sheet? Is that what he's trying to buy?
Oh yeah, as they're going into the track, yeah, you'll see a lot of hucksters on the outside that are, you know, Bernie's reliable, and they're trying to, you know, sell you their tips. So yeah.
Now this happens a handful of times throughout the movie. Trotter in his head sees someone hustling in some way, and quickly does the math on how much money that person must make in a day, week, or year.
Yes.
And and the first time we hear it is when he sees these guys selling the tip sheets, and he quickly does the math on like how much that person must make in a day selling these tip sheets.
Yeah.
So that is that comes out in its own feed, Better Viewing, BETTOR Viewing. It's called that because for lack of a better title. We either do a grab bag of TV episodes or scenes, or we usually pick out two movies to go over. The movies are starting to get thin. I'll admit, it may turn into a movie plus, you know, maybe a scene or two or a episode or two from a TV show. We'll figure it out. But something we really enjoy doing. It comes out on its own feed. Better Viewing, BETTOR Viewing, and that's a monthly when we get a chance to record and publish podcast. And then Better Viewing 2.0 will resume in the year 2023. This is a monthly record and publish when we can. But a thank you to everybody who supports me over on Patreon and is helping send Better Baby to college. Here's a short clip from our recent conversation that got published to Patreon.
Long story short, I paid off the marker and there's nothing to talk about other than they really, really don't know what they're doing over there.
Wow. What? So getting a marker, mm-hmm. probably, I think we've mentioned this, but would you agree still that the two biggest curiosities that the recreational gambler has is casino credit and casino hosts?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even close.
So casino credits. Mm-hmm. Circa is unique in that they support encourage almost you using a marker to go place sports bets. And that is not the case at most casinos.
Correct. Yeah. They are, they're the only entity that I know of that not only allows it, but, you know.
So is that Circus specific or Stevens Properties?
Stevens Properties. I mean, they're all Circus Sportsbook. I could pull a marker at the, well, you know what? The last bet that I made at the Circus Sportsbook, I had a marker at Circa from Table Games, and I had a chip, and it was a Circa chip, and I gave it to, I prefer the
Golden Gate
Sportsbook. Yeah. Same. I went across the street, and I made the bet there, and I gave them a Circa chip, and they took it no problem.
Nice.
Yep.
What a, I mean, the way they do business in their sportsbook is just, it's unparalleled.
And
what's your response to that?
My response is they are the best of the best of American land-based sports books, but it's really common sense. I mean, the things that they do that are exemplary really shouldn't be considered exemplary. I think they do a very fine job. I am a huge supporter of Circus Sportsbook and what they do. And if I had to lose money, I'd rather lose money to them, quite frankly.
Word.
But I don't think they're really doing anything astonishing. They're just not doing the terrible things that all the other ones are doing.
Sports, by the way, I don't know if we've talked about this yet. I'm having a hard time lining up our last talk in between. You and I have not talked about the DraftKings account hacks, have we?
Nope. No, we have not.
Okay. You know what? Before we get to that, one thing I'll say about Buffalo Diamond downtown. I have no problem saying this one because, I don't go to Vegas nearly enough to really care about this. And I'm definitely not going enough in the next few years to care about the Buffalo Diamond on the corner. The Buffalo Diamond inside of Golden Gate that's on the corner there across from Plaza.
Yep.
The Buffalo Diamond machine that's upstairs at Circa.
Mm-hmm.
And the Buffalo Diamond machine that is near the far exit into the D,
across from American Coney.
That's right.
Yep.
Those are the three.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't know what it is about those machines. I don't know if they just have so much tourist traffic or what, or if I don't know what it is, but I have found playable situations on those machines every day of every trip I've made down there. One of those machines has been playable.
That has not been my experience, but I would say of the plays that I've had in downtown, they're generally one of those three.
Yep.
However, I spend more time in the Stevens Properties than any other downtown. So, you know, if something was happening at Fremont, I wouldn't even see it. Four Queens, I wouldn't even see it. Golden Nugget, I traips through on occasion. But
I don't think there's one. I don't think I've seen one in Golden Nugget. There's one, I think, maybe in Binion's that I saw that I've seen playable. But there's always people there, whether it's playable or not. So it's not as easy to get down on. I think what's surprising about the ones we just mentioned is, especially the one in Golden Gate, I rarely even see people on it in general. Right, like it's not like, you know what I mean. Like it, usually when I find it with a play, it's also like empty, like no one's playing any of the seats. I don't know what it is about that position, but anyways, yeah. Those the only other one I've seen playable downtown, El Cortez has one, and they had a it was playable, but I had a haircut appointment at the barber there at El Cortez. Of course, it wasn't there when I sat down. Priorities, Tim.
There'll always be somebody to cut your hair. Come on.
I kind of actually regret it because it was a playable on the 4X on the max bet.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I could have paid for my trip had I just sat down and just played that play.
Yeah. You.
Yeah. I made a negative EV play for sure. Decision.
And I mean, it was a good haircut. Don't get me wrong.
I looked sharp.
You did, but you know, you'd look even sharper with a couple of thousand in your pocket.
It's true. Yeah. So Patreon, famously, as Adam Bauer once said, where content creators overpromise and underdeliver, and boy, it's so true, right? You just you wanna give back to the people that are supporting you. One of the things that I've had to ponder in this, what does the better life look like in 2023, Better Life 4.0, what does it look like, and how do I do it? Like, and one of the things I had to think of was, I need to make this as simple as possible, right? I need to make the processes and what I'm committing to as simple as possible. And you might think, like, well, you just described recording two monthly podcasts on top of a routine podcast. What's nice about those regular, about the podcast with Mark and Eric, though, is, you know, I do very little editing there. It is sort of just record and publish, which is nice, a little less than I would on a regular episode. But Patreon in itself is where I was like, I really need to simplify this. And when I was in the Marine Corps, they had this saying, you know, good initiative, bad judgment. And it sort of applied to, like, hey, that was a good idea, but poor execution, or you didn't quite think that through well enough before you put it into put it into action. And that's kind of how I feel about the ambassador program. I loved the idea that people who were into merchandise or who were supportive of the brand could support on Patreon at a higher amount, but then just constantly just get merch sent out to them when they like it. And the administrative side of it, of like creating the promo codes, making sure everybody's situated, and then ultimately kind of feeling obligated to be like regularly producing merchandise, did put a little bit of stress on me. And I'm you know, the merchandise continues to be designed and developed and stuff like that at its pace. But, you know, when a whole quarter goes by and nothing new's in there, like, I would feel guilty. And, you know, that's probably adding too much stress to this endeavor. So, unfortunately, the ambassador tier level on Patreon will go away in 2023. And Patreon will simply be a value for value endeavor, meaning we will continue to post the Better Life 2.0 on there. I will continue to to post updates and sort of maybe give Patreon, you know, like when merchandise is coming out, putting that on there. But it'll just be a value for value endeavor where, if you would like to support me on Patreon, you will get some of the other content, like Better Life 2.0. there won't be any other, exchange. There will likely, I think, maybe be Patreon supporting specific like promos with merch, right? So I will lend benefit when I think of it to Patreon, but nothing hard and fast and nothing really in writing. Really just to simplify the whole process for me and to make the better life easier to do and to accomplish. I appreciate everybody who was involved. If you were an ambassador if you were pledging at the ambassador level for quarter four of 2022, your promo, you like all the promo codes that you have still will work, right? They still exist. They will work. That none of that is in vain. That will still, so you can still hold on to those for future merch. But the tier level itself will go away in 2023. Okay. I think that's it. I think this is going to wrap up the last episode of 2022. The two top episodes of the year, in what was a bit of a shorter year, but the two top episodes of the year, the most listened to episode of the year was Annoyed Pit Boss. When he was talking about his book Delt and some of his other experiences in the casino. And then second to him was a sports betting episode with Jason Weingarten. And what I think is really cool about that When I saw that, when I looked up the metrics, it really made me smile, because I feel like that is the epitome of the better life, right? This is the point of it, is to encompass both casino players or to deliver to both in casino players and sports bettors, and for the top two episodes to have one casino specific and have one sports specific, I think really shows that that's working out in a way. All right, I'm gonna wrap up here. Thank you everybody for your patience, for supporting me along the way. You all have been very kind. Your kind words and your continued support. I'm excited to see what happens in 2023. I hope to see some of you in Biloxi and or Vegas. I hope to experience and discover new unique opportunities as a content creator and as a better as little baby girl here teaches me how to be a better dad. On behalf of Mark Duvall and Eric Rosenthal, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.